We start off like this. Parshas Baloscha has a very, very strange thing that happens right in the middle of the parsha. It's Parak Yud, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. It says, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, I should say, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, they traveled from the mountain of Hashem, Derech Shloshes Yamin, by way of 3 days. Va'aron Bris Hashem Nosei Lefneim, Derech Shloshes Yamin, Lassur Lahem Menucha. The Aron of Hashem traveled in front of them, by 3 days in front of them, in order to search for them, to spy out for them a resting land. Va'an Hashem Aleim Yomam, in other words, in order to go spy out the land for them. So the Anan, who used to be an Anan that was in front of them,
the Aron
Kodesh had certain laser beams that came out of Mabadim of the Aron Kodesh that flattened the ground in front of them and that destroyed all the scorpions and snakes in front of them. Yeah, pretty awesome. One of those pretty awesome situations, right? The cloud of Hashem was on them during the day when they traveled away. There was always the cloud of Hashem that was on them. Then we have a Nun Hafucha, backwards Nun in the middle of the parsha. It says,
that's written in the Torah, right there.
And there's a backwards Nun inside there. There's different machlokas and brethren. Minchas Shai brings down both the opinions. Some say that you should, some say you shouldn't. There's two different opinions whether you should have these backwards Nuns or not. But regardless, there is a backwards Nun over here. Then it says, they were complaining right there. They started complaining, Rabbos Hashem, evil in the eyes of God, in the ears of God. He heard it, he got angry. There was a fire of God that burned within them. And it burned up, it ate up, consumed the ends of the camp. The people cried out to Moshe. Moshe davened to Hashem, the fire stopped, the fire settled. Then the remnants among them, he savu taiva. They started to have this crazy desire. Who's going to give us meat? And we don't listen to this claim over here. Zocharno is a dog or shenochum in the time chinam. Oh, we remember the fish that we used to eat in Egypt for free. The melons, the watermelons, the grasses, the onions, and the garlic. Oh, that was good stuff, that grass. Oh, that was good stuff. And that garlic, man, who in the world can take this mun that tastes like anything in the world when we had that garlic and fish in Mitzrayim? But you were slaves. Yeah, but the fish. What in the world are they complaining about? They have something that tastes exactly like whatever they wanted it to. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes down over here. Listen to this. Moshe heard it. They were Moshe al Hashem. Lama hareyosa la'avdecha. Why did you do such evil to your servants? The lama lo matzasi kein beinecha. Why didn't I find favor in your eyes? L'sumas masa kolama ze'alai. That you put the entire people upon me, that I have to deal with this people. Hear this from Moshe Rabbeinu? Hanochi harisias kol amazeh. Did I impregnate this all these people? Ki manochi yilidatiu. Did I give birth to them? Ki somar lai sa'iu b'chaykecha. You tell me to carry them in your lap. K'sheisa omin zinyonek, like a nursemaid would carry a child. Al adam asher nishpat al avoso, up until the land that they come to. Me'ayin li basar osis kol amazeh. He's telling God, where am I going to get meat to give all these people? Ki yivku elai lemur tenal lar basar nochela. Lo uchal anochi levadi lasis kol amazeh. Ki kvad mimeni. I'm not able to hold them. They're way too heavy for me. I can't deal with these people. Dim kacha at osali, says Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you're going to do this to me, hargeni na harog. Kill me, please. With a please inside there. With a please. Kill me, please. If I found favor in your eyes. And don't allow me to see the evil that has befallen me. Is that the most ridiculous statement that a person ever has said to God?
No.
Tell him, Moshe Rabbeinu.
This is our Jewish.
I can't do it, number one. I can't deal with the fact that you put me in charge over here, number two. Number three, kill me please. It's the most ridiculous statements you've ever heard in your life. No. And it follows by ridiculous things from Klal Yisrael. They had a taiva. They all of a sudden started complaining. And they traveled away from God. Rashi says they ran away from Har Sinai. They're like, oh God, we're out of Har Sinai. Thank God. Let's run out before Hashem gives us more mitzvos. what in the world is going on here? What in the world happened that made them on this level, that put them on this level, that three things happened one after the other, to the point where we need these nunafuchas to sort of like turn it around and say, well, we don't want to have three punishments, one right next to the other. So we sort of have to put these nunafuchas inside there to separate between the three poranos, the three bad things that the Jews did. What in the world is going on over here? Okay.
First off.
Yes.
What happened?
I have a side question.
Wait. The Jews weren't craving meat. I think they had the desire to complain.
Ooh, that's deep. Now let's explain that depth. Why? What happened all of a sudden that all of a sudden they decided, you know what? Let's complain. Let's complain.
If I was Moshe, I would have asked God to kill me too.
If I was God, I would have freaking killed him. I don't care what's going on here. If somebody would have said that to me and I was God, thank God I'm not God. Because that guy would have been going down in a second. I would have smashed him down on the ground. I would have stepped on him. Then I would have taken his little squashy body. I would have rolled it over the steamroller. Then I would have put him back together and be like, you like that?
I don't know that what happened.
Well, he didn't mean what he said.
He was just
See, that's why I made it into the Torah.
He was Jewish.
Negotiating.
He was Jewish. He was
that's right. This is the way to do it. The way to negotiate, kill me now. That's the way to negotiate.
Okay, fine, I'll buy it.
No. Moshe was being like, oh my God, just please kill me. I can't take it anymore.
You ready? The name Baloscha answers it all. I've had this theory.
What's my other
I've had this theory my entire life. Every name of every Parsha refers to something that stands for the entire Parsha. Baloscha refers to the entire Parsha, but we have to go through it. Number one, we have to understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had tremendous hashgacha with the people in the Midbar. He was with them at all times, and he was paying attention to them at all times, and did crazy miracles for them, to the point where these people had no idea what it was like living a regular life. They were so used to having miracles happen for them, they didn't even realize what was miraculous and what wasn't anymore. For example, first thing in the Parsha, you should light up the menorah. Toward the middle candle, all the lights should be stood. Why there? Chazal say, on the menorah, there was always one light lit. Whether it was the middle candle, or it was the one all the way on the right, or the second one from the right, one candle was always lit on the menorah that never went out. Bnei Yisrael knew that. They saw it when they were by the Mishkan. They were able to look inside through the windows of the Mishkan, or by somewhere from the Mishkan. They were able to see that the menorah's lights were always lit at all times. That's one thing that they always saw. Number two, right after that, they have different reasons. Either way, it's machlokis what exactly which one it was. The second thing that's mentioned is the Levim. The Pasuk says, I want you to do the following. Go take all the Levim. Go pour mechatas on them. Put the paraduma water on them. Right? Then I want you to take a razor, shave off their heads, wash their clothes, make them tahor. Take a parbambukar and everything, bring them close, and then let them all do smicha on them. They're going to put their hands on them. The Hanif Aaron is a Levim tenufa lipnei Hashem. And then Aaron has to wave them like a lulav. Wait to think about this for a second. He's waving them like a lulav. He picked up all 22,000 Levim. Picked them up, waved them one way, up, down, every single one of the Levim, 22,000 of them. Not once, not twice, but thrice. Three times. He goes in and does it to Nufa on Bnei Yisrael, well, waves them up. That's not even the gist of it. Medrash Rabbah in this week's Parsha says, He did it to Nuf on them. He waved them in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Picked them up and waved them up and down like he would a lulav. According to the simple pshat, yes. According to the Medrash Rabbah, he picked up all 22,000 Levim at once and took all of them and waved them up, waved them down. That way he was able to do it in one day, three times. But it's a pella. It's the craziest miracle. There's a whole big thing over here, how strong Aaron was and everything.
The little thing, the thing of Levim, sure. By the way, he was able to fly. Anyways, moving on.
I'm trying to point out to you right now, crazy little miracles that were taken in the Chumash as just people saw them, and in the Midbar they were so used to seeing such miracles, they're like, no big deal that Aaron's going ahead and carrying, that he's doing one. I have no idea how it happened that one guy stood up, he lifted up one, and the other guys did a wave. Like, I don't know. It's like one guy.
You see, you're saying with like a bunch of people. Let's just say 22,000.
Yeah, all of a sudden he feels
all of a sudden you're like, what? We're going up. We're going down.
All of a sudden, and you couldn't see anything because he's right in the middle. But 22,000 Levim at once, says the Medrash Rabbah. How in the world is that Shaykh? Somehow there was a crazy miracle that happened, but people were not affected by it. People, it's not even mentioned as a miracle in the Torah. Not even said anything about it. It's just like, yeah, he waved them once, twice, third time, and everything's all good. That's the Tenufos. Right after that, and Perek Tes, Pasuk Beis, it says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'mi bar sinai b'shana shen say some airs the time before the Shereishon Lamor, the Yasu b'nei Yisrael is a Pasach b'moado. They did the Korban Pasach in its proper time. Meshech Chachma says, biggest miracle that happened in all 40 years in the desert. All 40 years in the desert, the biggest miracle. So listen to what happened.
What?
This Korban Pasach. How? How many Kohanim were around at the time?
One.
How many Kohanim were there?
No, four.
Five. Not four.
Five.
Not five. Not even if you are dead.
Three.
No, Elazar, Itamar, and Aaron. Elazar, Itamar, and Aaron. So Aaron, Elazar, and Itamar are the only Kohanim around. The deal by the Korban Pasach is that 6.5 hours into the day, which in a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. day, that would be about 12:30. At 12:30, Chatzos, a little bit past Chatzos, a half hour past Chatzos, then you bring the Tamid Shobein Arbaim. You bring the Tamid Shobein Arbaim, the second korban of the day. That korban is brought, and then afterward, you bring the korban pasach. Say the Tamid Shobein Arbaim takes about a half an hour. There's a lot of process to it. Took you until about 1 o'clock. You have from 1 until 6 p.m., a total of about 5 hours altogether, to go ahead and do the korban pasach. Now, when you have all the kohanim working there, it's all good. It's all good. But when you don't have all thousands of kohanim, you have three people getting up there and going in and serving, it's going to be an issue. Every single Jew had to eat from the Korban Pesach. There are 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. That's about 3.6 million Jews in Klal Yisrael. Every single one of them has to have a little bit of the Korban Pesach. That means, let's be generous here, for every sheep or goat that they brought, there were 1,000 people that were in that group for the Korban Pesach. Let's say 1,000 people. In 3.6 million people, 1,000 people per sheep or goat, that gives you a total of 3,600 sheep or goats that had to be sacrificed, got their blood accepted inside a kli, ran to the mizbeach and sprinkled the blood on top of the mizbeach, then gone ahead and poured the blood out. They picked up the sheep or the goats, put it on a hook, stripped off the flesh, and then gave it over to the owners for the owners to go ahead and what's it called? All of them for them, what's it called? For them to go have it that night. We're talking about 3,600 sheep or goats in a total of 5 hours by three people. Three people that were the people in charge. That's absolutely ridiculous. What?
Each mirza guy?
Each what?
You said it was three quantum.
Three people all together.
And they were Aaron,
Elazar, and Itamar.
Itamar. Is he a guy?
All of them. Yes, he's a guy. By the way, Elazar, Itamar, and Aaron were the three people that did it. Says the Meshech Chachma. So you would have thought that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the sun up in the sky and let it last a little bit longer. But no, the Yasu B'nai Yisrael's a Pasach. They did the Korban Pasach b'moado, in its proper time. They didn't do it with any extra time. They didn't start early because they knew they only had three Kohanim. They did it all in its proper time. Says the Meshech Chachma, the absolute greatest miracle that has ever happened in the history of Klal Yisrael. And it's mentioned with a side note. Not even a, the Yasu B'nai Yisrael's a Pasach b'moado, that's miracle number three. Number four, right after that, we go into...
nobody can help them with any of the sections, any parts of the...
Doesn't make a difference. You try shechting 3,600 things and doing all this stuff. It really does not make a difference, no matter how many people were there. It just doesn't help at all. Then we go into and we say...
the Jewish people, as in general, wanted to give up 3,600 sheep.
For all those who are listening online, the people that are talking, I have no idea why there's more talking this week than any other week. Probably because Moshe Polson is sitting on my right. But other than that... Let's go. Now, afterward, we have the Ananim that are sitting around the people. They were surrounded by clouds all the way around, in front, in the back, on the sides, all the way in the bottom, etc., on top. They got everything all over the place. They got these Ananim. The Ananim Yakovot are ridiculous. According to some Perushin, the Bas Ayin, one of them, the Ananim moved with them. The Ananim moved with them. They went ahead, and they were moving escalators, so that when the people needed to go and they traveled, they didn't just travel. They traveled on those moving escalators that you see at O'Hare Airport, where you just get moved around on your own, and you see those people walking, you're just like, I'm not walking. going just as fast as you are. I ain't walking. That's what was happening over here. Then you have that guy who's running on the moving escalator because, you know, he feels like he's getting there faster, you know? Yeah, the lightning guy. The lightning guy. It's usually me. But either way, that guy all over there. That's number... The Anani I covered is also one of the craziest things, aside from the mun and aside from the be'er that are also all over the place. Then come the chatzotros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to bring these chatzotros in, these silver trumpets that are over there, and Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes Vav. Also, one a strange thing. Says the Or HaChaim and the Miyam Lo'ez, the Midbar is full of Shadim, Mazikin, Ruchos, Tuma, all the worst things out there. The way to get rid of all this stuff, he says, is by blowing on the Chatzotzos. The Chatzotzos had a tekia or a trua that was blown. They blew the thing. They would go and blow on that shofar / Chatzotz or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, all the Shadim Mazikin would run away. They wouldn't be able to be anywhere near the Chatzotzos. They went ahead and saw what the Chatzotzos did. And by the way, that's the Pshat by Vehi ben Soa Aron. When the Aron moved and they blew the Chatzotzos, V'yafutsu Oivecha, your enemies, those Shadim in the Midbar, scattered. V'yanusu Misanecha Mipanecha, your angry guys, all them ran away as well. Everybody that was there, all those Shadim and all those Mazikin ran away from the Chatzotzos. They looked at this and they started blowing the shofar and saw everything run away, all the tumor run away to the point where they couldn't sin. They looked at that and they're like, this is ridiculous. They saw all these miracles and they asked themselves, why isn't everything perfect? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me everything I need and everything I want, he gives us everything we need in the Midbar without any issues, then why in the world do I still have tithes? Why in the world am I looking at this mun and saying I'm sick and tired of this mun? If the mun was given by God, don't you think it would be perfect? And it would be, no? It should be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to test them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in 10 yisyonos for Klal Yisrael, put in tests for Klal Yisrael. And those tests included the following. Let's look at what happens right before they run away from Har Sinai. Pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe l'Chovav ben Reuel haMidyani chosen Moshe." Moshe spoke to Chovav ben Reuel, the Midianite, who was the father-in-law of Moshe. Who was?
Yisrael.
We all know that. No simanachnu alamakom asher amar Hashem oso atein lachem. We are traveling to the place that God said, "I am going to give to you." L'cha itanu Yisrael says. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Come with us. They tavnu lach, and we'll give good things to you." Ki Hashem divar tova Yisrael, because Hashem has spoken good things to Yisrael. Vayomer love lo eleich. Yisrael said to Moshe, "I don't want to go. Ki emal arti vel moladati eleich. I want to go back to my land and to my birthplace." Now, the real reason behind Yisrael was to go get gerim, to go get other people to join in with them, to become gerim, to join Klal Yisrael. Vayomer love. I'm sorry. Vayomer al na tazov olsam. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, "Don't leave us." You know what we were like in the desert, and you were einayim for us, your eyes for us. You know what's out here. If you go with us, all the good that we'll get when we go to Eretz Yisrael, I promise you, Yisrael, it'll be yours as well. You'll come with us as well. What happens? The Ramban says he stayed. All the other Rishonim say he left. He packed it out. He said, "No, I'm out." And in fact, Or HaChaim says they kicked him out. They took Yisro and said, "Okay, you don't want to listen to us? Then get out and never come back." And they kicked Yisro out. Yisro was gone forever. The Canaan that later on joined Klal Yisrael never were real Jews, says the Perushim. Tzipora stayed with Moshe Rabbeinu. The wife of Elazar stayed with Elazar HaKohen. But everybody else from Yisro and his entire other part of the family never came back. Never came back. They were gone forever. People saw that. And they knew the pshat that it was supposed to be that he was going to get Garen. But they started to think to themselves, why did Yisrael leave? Why in the world did he get out of here? They started saying to themselves, he must have thought that there's a better life elsewhere. That there's something better out there that we're not getting out here. That he knows it's all a fake. That we're not going to get inside Eretz Yisrael. That he knows there's something wrong. So all of a sudden, doubts started creeping into their mind. And we know how the snake works, how the satan works. Snake bite of the satan goes in and starts biting you and spreads the poison throughout your entire skin. People started thinking badly, so when they got away from our Sinai, they started thinking to themselves, okay, we got to get out of here. We got to do like Yisro. We got to go as soon as we can. They ran away from Har Hashem. Ran away and turned their backs on Har Sinai. Said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "We're out. We're not going to stay here anymore." They ran straight away back out of there. After that, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees something like that happen, when something bad happens like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a step backward. Because whenever we take a step back from him, he takes a step back from us. So when that happened, more doubts started entering their minds. And not only their minds. The Misonanim that are mentioned in the beginning over here are supposed to be the 70 Zekanim. The 70 elders that led them in Mitzrayim. And they were up there in Har Sinai. They were standing on the foot of Har Sinai. They were right there with Nadav and Avihu and Elazar and Itamar and Aaron right underneath Moshe Rabbeinu. All 70 Zekanim died. They were the Ish that was Tokel B'Kseh Machaneh. They were killed by a massive fire that killed the 70 Zekanim among the camps, all because they complained. They started saying, man, don't you wish things were a little bit better? And when the people saw that, took another step backward, our second step, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took another step backward, which means Bnei Yisrael started thinking even worse. They took a third step backward. They started saying to themselves, why don't we have mun that tastes exactly what we want to? I know it tastes similar, but why doesn't it fulfill our taivas like the old food did? I remember what the fish did to us. I ate fish and I felt good. I ate garlic and onions, and even the garlic and onions and the garbage foods that I had still tasted better in my stomach than did the mun. The mun felt like it melted into their skin. They were never full. Never full. They had it. They ate it. It was delicious. It was delicious. But then they never went to the bathroom, and it stayed in their bodies for all time. And it never went out. And they said to themselves, this feels disgusting. And they never had enough. They always sat there and they said, we want a little bit more. But they couldn't have a little bit more. They got enough to survive, and that was it. That was all they had. And they said, why? Why isn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us more to fulfill our taivas? Why are our taivas becoming so great? They didn't understand it, and they started complaining. They started asking for the most ridiculous things in the world. The most ridiculous things in the world. They started saying to themselves, I'd rather have grasses than the mun. I'd rather have little grasses that we had in Mitzrayim. I'd rather have watermelons. I'd rather have garlic than what we have over here. Now here we go. That, by the way, is Bahalosecha. When you get raised up to a certain level, Bahalosecha is when you rise up. When you get raised up to a certain level and you're used to seeing certain things, it's impossible to throw yourself down. It's impossible to knock yourself down from there. You have too high expectations for God. You're expecting so much from Him. Something bad happens, you immediately throw out your religion. You say, forget it. Then why should I be here? Because your expectations are so high. When something bad happens, how could this be? How could God let that happen? How could God say something like that? How could God do something like that? It's impossible for something like that to happen. So listen to what happens over here. There's a certain type of a demon. His name is Chinam. Spelled Ches Yud Nun Mem. Chinam. Sin Gematria is Gehenna. Sin Gematria is Gehenna. You ever noticed people always complain about things that are free? You ever noticed that before? Everybody always complains about things that are free. You get something for free, all of a sudden it's just like, well, yeah, it's not good enough. You got it for free. You get something. Somebody gives you, I have it all the time with the yeshiva program, where I give breakfast. Right? There's breakfast. Always. Why didn't you get this cereal? Why didn't you go shopping? I don't understand. It's a complaint about everything. Well, the French toast just isn't to my liking. Okay. I'm sorry that you had something for free. It's a crazy little thing. Oh, thank you, man. But the fact is, there's always times where somebody gets something for free, and you sit there, and all of a sudden you're just like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. There's a sale on something. You're always like, I expected so much more from this. Why? It was on sale for a reason. There's a reason why there's a sale. Whenever something is chinam, you start complaining. Bnei Yisrael got all this stuff for free. So the chinam got a hold of them. This klipa called chinam got a hold of them. And they started to complain. They started to say, well, I don't get it. Why is this so? Why is that so? Moshe Rabbeinu saw this. And he had issues. He had issues and he realized that there's something wrong. Why? The shefa of the door, the whole generation, is always based on what the leaders of the generation are like. Moshe Rabbeinu knew about himself that he himself had no taivas, absolutely no desires for anything in life. He separated from his wife and never wanted to go back. He separated from foods. He didn't eat or drink for 40 days in Har Sinai, and he never went back. He was so pulled away from taivas that he knew there was no way that Bnei Yisrael was getting this from him. So what he said was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not me that's the problem. It's the 70 Zekanim that you gave to me when I left Mitzrayim. Listen to these words over here and read it again. We're going to read it through again. You ready? Moshe heard it. Why did you do evil to your servant? servant by adding on other people. Loma lo matzasi chen beinecha, yud alef yud alef. Loma lo matzasi chen beinecha, l'sum es masa kolom es elai. Why did I not find favor in your eyes that you could have put the entire burden of the nation on me alone? It should have been on me by myself. Not that, how could you have done this on me? How could you have done this to me? Why didn't you let me be in charge of the people by myself? If I would have been in charge by myself, I have no taivas. Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have had any of these taivas. None of these things would have happened in the first place. Hariah, the 70s of kingdom just died from the complaints. Immediately Bnei Yisrael start complaining. I haven't heard a single complaint from Bnei Yisrael ever since before the Zekanim died. All of a sudden they start complaining. You think it's a coincidence? It's because of the Zekanim. Ha'anochi arisius kolam hazeh. And not a question. I gave birth to all these people. Imanochi yilidit to you. I was the one who did everything over here, says the Chassam Sofer. Ki somar alai sayu b'chaykecha. You told me, Hashem, that I should carry it in your lap, in my lap. Kasha yisa omen is a yonek alo doma shenish bala vosav. Now he has a problem. Says, may ayin li buser. Listen to this Meshach Chachma. He says, if I want to give them meat now, it's impossible. Because why is the mun based on me? Why do I give them mun? The be'er was given from the schus of Miriam. The anani akavod was the schus of Aaron, right? The schus of the mun was by Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did the mun not fulfill their taivas? Because Moshe didn't have any taivas. So he was molid. He gave birth within the food that he gave them, a food that had no taivas at all. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, may I leave Basar? Where am I going to find the ability to give them food that's going to fulfill their taivas? Where am I going to find this meat to give to all these people? Now they're on the level where they want taivas because of these others of Canaan, because of everybody else there. What am I going to do now? What in the world am I going to do to be able to fulfill these taivas for this thing? Now I'm not going to be able to carry these people. They're too heavy for me. Now it's too bad for me. If you would have given them to me in the first place by myself, then it would have been okay. Now it's not enough for me to be by myself. I need people to help me, and it can't be the 70s of Canaan that you gave me before. It's got to be something different. And if not, in kocha at osoli, if you're going to continue to make me into the leader by myself, hargeni na harog, then what's going to happen is the following. The people are going to keep stepping back, and ashkocha is going to keep stepping back, and you guys are going to keep following back from one another. There's only two ways for that to be circumvented, for it not to happen through mitzvahs or anything like that. There's two ways for it to be circumvented. You use your rachamim, and you bring yourself back, even though they don't deserve it, you bring yourself back, or kill me. What happens when a tzaddik dies? When a tzaddik dies, it causes an atonement for the people. A pure kapara for the entire people. He said, if you're not going to do anything else, let me die. Or genina harog, let me die, says Moshe Rabbeinu. And that way they'll get a kapara, and automatically they'll find themselves back. And then it'll be better for the people. And they'll get a leader who has taivas. They'll have a leader who will be able to do everything for them. But me, by myself, right now, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not made for these people because you gave me the 70s of Canaan in the beginning. So now listen to what he says. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Asva li shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Gather for me another 70 men from the people of Yisrael. Asher yadatakim zikne on b'shot rov. That you know are elders and officers, people that you trust. V'lakato samalo moed b'yisiyat husham imach. Stand there and stand there with them. V'arati v'dibartim koshom v'atzaltim min haruach asher alakam v'samti alayim. Then I'm going to take from you and place it upon them. You know what the problem was? Because the shivim zikneh were not in your level. So what do we need to do? We need to give the Zekanim your level. I'm going to take some of your power and give it over to them. So they lose their taivas. They'll still have a little bit of taiva so that the food that I give will be in their schus. But then after they get that, then what happens? Then they'll have less taivas so they won't cause more taivas than Klal Yisrael. But just enough taiva to be able to give them food so that the food that they give them will be full of taivas. And they'll be able able to get the meat. That's why he didn't preface by saying, don't worry, says Hashem. I'll give you meat, and by the way, gather 70 people. First he said to him, you need the meat. I know, you can't do it on your own. First gather 70 people, I'll give your ruach to them, and then afterward they'll be able to get it. Now, do you think Moshe Rabbeinu lost out from such a relationship? Think he lost out? No. Crazy board. It's like a candle. You take a light, you take a candle, and you go and you light another match with it. You go light another candle with it. Then you light another candle with it, right? The first candle is sitting there like, stop it! You're losing me! No, you're not. The candle's flame remains the same, whether it lights a second candle, a third candle, a fourth candle, a fifth candle, a sixth candle. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lose a thing from it. Did not lose one thing. Moshe Rabbeinu remained as great as he was and gave over his ruach to everyone else there. So that everybody else was on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, not totally free of all taivas, but so little taivas that it was enough to give them food, vizo. And that was it. Such a crazy board that should have taken care of everything there. By the way, side note, you know why he also said Ma'an Li Basar? Because the people are sitting there. Later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give them a certain thing, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, he says, there's 600,000 people on these people. They're saying that I'm going to give them meat and they're going to eat it for a full month. If they go ahead and check all the cattle and sheep that they have, will they be able to find enough meat? Do you think all the fish in the world they'll be able to go ahead and gather and that'll be enough? I'll ask you something. Yeah. Why not? Why couldn't that be? Why couldn't they have enough meat in the world? You're talking to God. Why wouldn't the amount of meat and fish, what kind of a question is that? He's like going ahead and he's doubting again. What in the world is going on? Here we go. You ready for the answer? Simple answer. Because he said, he looked at them and he said, these people are just wanting to complain. If you give them hamburgers, they're going to say, well, we really wanted hot dogs. You go give them hot dogs, they'll say, well, we wanted ribs. You give them ribs, they're going to say, well, we wanted steaks. Give them steaks, they're going to say, well, we wanted pheasant. You give them pheasant, they'll say, well, we wanted chicken. Give them chicken, they'll say, we wanted duck. Where is this coming from?
Yaakov ordered pheasants.
Pheasant is like quail. What are we going to do in order to give the people what they want? What are we going to do for them? May I and leave Basar to give to all these people? You think there's going to be enough sheep and goats and everything like that for them to be able to have for everything to work out? He said, instead of Kadosh Baruch Hu, trust me on this one. Trust me. It's all going to be good. Trust me. He gave them the slav. This slav is not a normal creature. It is something that tastes like every single bit of meat that you've ever tasted. It's a combination of everything together.
Why isn't
and putting it all together works.
Why isn't, like, we don't consider bird like real meat, but here they give them bird.
It's a great call, and it's one of the rayas given that chicken and milk is us, or just like meat and milk. It's one of the rayas given for that. But even midoraisa, that chicken is considered basar v'chalav, even though, because it's called basar over here. But this is not normal chicken. Chicken probably wouldn't have been mentioned by the pasuk. Slav is not it's a bird, but it doesn't taste like bird. You know, like, you taste chicken, you know it's chicken. You taste meat, you know it's meat. You've never had, if you have a cholent that has turkey in it, it's just a stinky cholent. And you can tell. If you're Israeli and you have turkey in your cholent, you sit there and you're like, this is absolutely a disgusting cholent. You know, it's a little bit nice, but it's pretty much disgusting. You know when there's meat, you know when it's chicken. You know when it's garbage and stuff like that. You know when that is. It's just a fact of life that people have to realize, and it's just done. Okay, so we're going on to the next thing over here. So what happened? Oh, and by the way, the Baal Torah says when the slav came down, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it came down, the Lamed Hei Pasuk Chav Gimel, it's not here, it's later on, says that the slav came down and ran down wherever it was, came down about 6 feet above the ground. Anybody that was standing there that was a Russia, the bird poked right through their heads, went right through them and killed them. Some of the people were decapitated from it. Pretty crazy. Now, it was good to be short back then. I don't know what the deal is, but it was good to be short. But there's another thing that's mentioned over there, very quickly. Well, it depends. I guess it depends on the situation. Regardless, there's one other thing regarding this, that aside from all the slav and everything out there, there's some crazy stuff that happened with Eldad and Medad. Eldad and Medad are some of the strangest stories that you've ever heard before in your life. Look over here. Let's look at the Pasuk again. Pasuk says, Perek Yud Aleph, It says Pasuk Chav Vav two people remained in the camp. First of all, those names are definitely fakes. There's no question. There's no way there were two people by the name of Eldad and Medad that happened to have gotten Nebu at the same time. No way, right?
That's a popular Israeli name.
Eldad, now it is, what? But it's Medad, and their brothers named Medad who are always with them. You never hear of an Eldad and a Medad together. That's not happening. Eldad and Medad. Batonach Aleim Aruach, the Spirit of God came upon them. Hema Baksuvin. They were among those written to become on Sanhedrin, but they never made it. They never made it on Sanhedrin. V'lo Yatu Ol Avi Yisnabu B'machaneh. They prophesized in the camp. They yelled aloud, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Yoshua ben Nun, the servant of Moshe from one of his Bachurim, Vayomar Adoni Moshe Kloaim. My master Moshe, destroy them. Kill them for prophesying in front of you. Vayomar Moshe, I'm a Kani Atoli. What, you're jealous of me? Me eating Koloam Hashem Nevi'im, Ki eating Hashem is Ruch Olaim. I'd rather have the entire people be Nevi'im, prophets, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Spirit upon them. Who in the world are Eldad and Medad? So here's an interesting little medrash for you. Eldad and Medad were children related to Moshe and Aaron. How? Two midrashim. There's really six. One medrash says that when Yocheved and Amram got divorced in Mitzrayim, Yocheved went out and married a guy by the name of Elitzafan ben Parnach. Elitzafan ben Parnach and Yocheved had two children, twins, Eldad and Medad. Eldad and Medad were born. After Eldad and Medad were born, then Elitzafan ben Parnach divorced Yocheved, and Amram said, I want to get married back to you. They got back together, and which is Machzor Rushasso, but anyway, she was his aunt, so there's other issues involved. Went ahead and married her again, and gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Eldad and Medad are the brothers from the mother of Moshe and Aram. That's number one. There's another medrash. Rabbi Hillel, one of the Amorim, Rabbi Hillel Gon, I'm sorry, one of the Gonim, says that he saw the kever of Eldad and Medad in Eretz Yisrael. And it said on it, this is the kever of Eldad and Medad, Ache Aaron v'Moshe mina Av. The brothers of Aaron and Moshe from the father. Why? What happened? Amram divorced Yocheved, married another woman, we do not know the name of this woman, and gave birth to another two children, Eldad and Medad. I just want to point out right now, when did Amram do this? Chazal say it happened when he heard in Har Sinai that you got to get divorced from your aunt, that you're not allowed to be married to your brother's sister, your father's sister, I'm sorry, your father's sister, and he was married to his father's sister. Yocheved was a daughter of Levi. When he heard that, he said, oh, forget it, Yocheved, I'm out. And he went and married somebody else, and he gave birth to Eldad and Medad. 1 year later is when this happened. That means Eldad and Medad are a year old. A year old. And they're the brothers of Aaron and Moshe. The brothers of Aaron and Moshe. There's a lot of problems with all this. How in the world were they able to be on Sanhedrin? Two brothers cannot be on Sanhedrin. And if they were the sons of Amram, that means they were Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi doesn't make it onto Sanhedrin. So who in the world are Eldad and Medad, and why in the world are they able to be there? But aside from that, now do you understand their names? Eldad. Medad. The issue with Amram and Yocheved was that he was married to his Doda, his aunt. So Eldad and Medad refers to the uncle. Medad, who's the uncle? It was the names given to them to say they're not from Amram and Yocheved, who were aunt and nephew to one another, but rather they were other people that came along from Amram and Yocheved, but they were still brothers of Moshe and Aram. What did they see in Nebuah? What was their prophecy? The Chanukah Satorah says an unbelievable thing. Chanukah Satorah says they prophesied about Moshe Rabbeinu. The wording they gave according to Rashi was Moshe Meis Yoshua Machanis. Moshe will die, Yoshua will bring Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua will be able to bring them in. They were misnabim b'machaneh. First of all, the word misnabim, according to the Rush, stands for Moshe Tanuach Nafsho Be'eden. That's misnab. Oz Yoshua Machnes. Misnabim. Moshe Tanuach Nafsho Be'eden. He's going to die and go to Gan Eden. Then Yoshua will bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Machnes into Eretz Yisrael. That's Misnabim. That's what it refers to. But Machnes is also up there. What they did was they were Moch the No. They were Moch means they erased No. Does that mean? When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, he was named Moshe. Why was he named Moshe? What was the wording used by Bas Paro to name him Moshe? Anybody know? Well, say it out loud. If you know it, say it out loud. It was a pasuk. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu named Moshe? What was the pasuk used? What was the wording in Hebrew? Anybody know? I'll call Mishi Sihu. What's the words before that? Min Hamayim Mishi Sihu. From the water, I pulled him. Mishi Sihu is the word Moshe. Everybody asked, Min Hamayim? You don't have to say Min Hamayim. You could just say the word Mimayim. Mishi Sihu. Min Hamayim. Add on an extra nun, an extra hey. That's unnecessary. It should be the words Mimayim Mishi Sihu. What Eldon Ameda did, where they were Moch the Na. They took the nun and the hey that were extra from Min Hamayim, and they erased them both. And they came out with Mimayim. Mimayim is Moshe Mace Yoshua Machnes. And that was the Nevuah that they said. That Moshe is going to die, Yoshua brought them in, and those were the letters of Mimayim. Mem, Mem, Yud, Mem, that they went and they prophesied on. All because they were Moch, they erased the Nun Hei that was given over there. Okay, I think we're going to stop with this over here, guys. Have a good Shabbos.